Please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the following marhumin: Muhammad Baqir Kirmani and Khadija Kirmani, Muhammad Jafar Lari, Sayyida Shamshad Begum, Sayyid Nurul Hasan Jafri, Sayyid Ali Akbar, and Shah Jahan Begum. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عائد المريض يخوض في الرحمة وإذا جلس ارتمس فيها صلوات This ayat of Holy Quran in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ We learn in the light of the verse, when the prayer ends, when the prayer is finished, then go disperse on earth and seek from the fadl of Allah. This ayat, we have hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Doing the tafsir of the ayat, saying that al ayatu laysat li talab al dunya. This ayat is not for the sake of seeking dunya. وَلَكِنْ حُضُورُ جَنَازَةٍ Instead, for the sake of, that means what Allah is asking from the people after they end the Jumu'ah prayers is not that they go back to their business and job after they end the Jumu'ah prayers. What Allah is asking from the people in this ayat is actually حضور جنازة that people participate in some funeral procession. They go and participate in the janaza of some mu'min ولكن عيادة مريض, that means paying a visit to a sick person, or we go for the janaza to a, in the funeral procession, funeral of a mu'min person, and ziyaratu akhin fillah, that means we pay a visit to a mu'min brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any mu'min brother that we have chosen for the sake of Allah, we go for his ziyarat. Paying a visit to our mu'min brothers is also mustahab, recommended act in Islam. Alaykum bil muzawara. Go and pay a visit to your mu'min brothers. Go for the ziyarat. If you pay a visit to any mu'min brother, not for the sake of any other material or any other interest from that person, but for the sake of the respect of his iman in the walayat of the 12 imams. Because this mu'min believes in the walayat of the 12 imams, I pay a visit to him. This is called ziyarat fillah, that we are paying a visit for a mu'min person for the sake of his iman. So the ayat of Quran stands for these three reasons. So all these three are great values of our religion. And then the hadith of the Prophet, which I recited, it's a constant tradition of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that they used to pay a visit to their fellow mu'min brothers, and they used to participate in the janaza of those mu'mins who were dying. And also, no matter how busy our schedules are, we should always take time out to go and participate in the janaza of those who die. And if we cannot take time out from our busy schedules for others who are dying in the community, then forget about others taking time for us. That's the way it works. If we care about others and do all these funeral services for others, then Allah will make sure that there will be some others who will do funeral services for us. So, and likewise is, you know, ayadatu mareezin, that in paying visit to a sick person, is another great value of Islam. We find that it was a tradition of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They were visiting their mu'min brothers who were sick. And we find when a person is visiting Imam Hassan alayhi salam when he was sick, Amir Mumineen alayhi salam shows up and he narrates this hadith from Rasulullah. Sami'tu Rasulullah. I heard the Prophet saying, in other words, that Man aada, you know, whoever pays a visit to a sick person, again, like I say, I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words, whoever pays visit to a sick person, you know, shayya'ahu sab'una alfu malak, 70,000 angels accompany him, min sa'atihi allati, from the time that he goes out to, for the sake of the iyadat of a mariz, paying visit to a sick person. From that time it was, if it was a daytime, until hatta taghrib, till the sun sets. And it was the night time, hatta yatlu al-fajr, till the time, time of the true dawn arrives. Ihtamalan. So 70,000 angels accompany this person just because he is paying visit to a sick person. There are so many sick people and there are so many ill people. Whenever we get the news that some mu'min is ill in our community, it's our obligation, our moral obligation, you know, that whenever possible we should pay a visit. It is something which is extremely emphasized. And also another narration says that man aada mareezan wakkallahu allahu lahu malakan ya'uduhu fi qabrihi. Whoever pays a visit to a sick person, Allah assigns an angel to pay a visit to him in his grave. If you pay a visit to one mu'min person, let's suppose you paid visit to 500 mu'mins in your life. 500 angels made of the noor and divine light of Allah will be paying visit into your grave for your ziyarat. Can you imagine the how Allah behaves? Just like somebody, it is narrated that, you know, about Muhaddis Qummi rahmatullah alayh, he, when he died, such a, we call him Shaykhul Muhaddiseen, the, you know, such a great muhaddis of our history and a unique personality. And so he, when he died, his son saw him in the dream and asked his father that, how are you? That means in this alam al-barzakh, what's your situation? And Shaykh Muhaddis Qummi replied, the one who wrote Mafatihul Jinan as well, he replied that, well, I went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam 3 times in my life. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam reciprocally came for my ziyarat 3 times in my grave. That's one. That's how it works. Because they are Kareem ibn Kareem, ibn al-Kurama. They are the ones who are generous. Their whole lineage is the lineage of generosity. If we pay a visit, we do ziyarat for Imam Hussain alayhi salam, then they will do our ziyarat. So if we pay a visit to a mu'min person, Allah assigns an angel who will pay a visit to us in the grave. And also another hadith says, Man aada mareezan, شَيَّعَهُ أَلْفُ مَلَكٍ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لَهُ حَتَّى يَرْجِعْ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. Whoever pays a visit to a sick person, 1,000 angels of Allah accompany him and do istighfar, seek forgiveness for him until he returns back to his house. What a great deal! 1,000 angels of Allah who are infallibles are seeking dua, seeking forgiveness for me, for my sins. 1,000 angels. Allah's rahmat says, if 40 mu'min gather together and pray the janazah over one mu'min person, and they collectively say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna la na'lamu minhu illa khaira, we do not know about him except khair and goodness. Allah, who knows the sins that the person has committed, Allah ignores all the sins that he knows and pays attention to what these 40 mu'mins are witnessing. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a tradition for some of the religious families in Islamic Iran that what they do is that they ask 40 scholars, Sayyid scholars, to write down on their coffin this shahadat and witness that I did not see any sin or wrong from this person. So in the lifetime, it's always mustahab for a mu'min. A mu'min never, you know, always carries his kafan with him. Or at least the money that suffices to purchase the kafan with him all the times. Isn't it right? So the job of the people is to provide the kafan on you, not to buy the kafan for you. You need to buy the kafan for yourself in your own life. So, and this is also part of the nafaqa. The kafan of your wife is wajib on the neck of the husband to purchase for her. So, just like the fitrah of a wife is wajib on the husband, even if the wife is a multi-millionaire and, you know, she makes a lot of money, but the husband is jobless for now, it's still wajib in Islam. It's not wajib on the wife to pay her own fitrah. Isn't it right? Even if she pays her own fitrah, it is not accepted in the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. The husband has to pay the nafaqah of the wife, including the fitrah, including the kafan. So what I was saying is that there's a tradition that some people take their kafan to some Sayyid scholars and ask them to please write down this witness on my kafan. It carries a lot of weight. 40 witnesses bearing witness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we didn't do any sin. And he saw any sin about this person. So 1,000 angels, what would happen when 1,000 angels of Allah are bearing witness? They are doing istighfar in our favor. If I happen to visit one mu'min person who is sick, did you happen to go to those old houses where there are elderly people? Isn't it right? Those elderly houses where these people who are disabled or blind, or their children have just basically dumped them into those quarters, and you see, look at the faces. You go there and just look at the faces of these old people, and how much eager they are to just talk to you for one sentence, because they don't find nobody to talk a single sentence. In Islam, we have a religion of values. So we have to pay visit to the sick people ourselves. You know, and not just that, the hadith which I recited from the Prophet in the beginning, Prophet says, "A'idul marid yakhudhu fir rahmah." That means the person who pays a visit to a sick person, he is in the rahmat of Allah, in the mercy of Allah. Wa'idha jalasa, when he sits, irtamasa fiha. He immerses himself in other words, immerses in the ocean of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, when you are drowned in the mercy of Allah, what will happen? All the sins get forgiven. So don't make haste when you pay a visit to a mu'min. Sit alongside with that mu'min person who is sick. Don't be in a hurry. Sit on the chair. Relax. Spend some time with that person. Don't just pay a visit while you are standing. These are part of our value system. So we have, it is narrated that Marhum Hashmatul Wa'izin, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, such a great personality, one of the awliyaullah, one of the beloved servants of Allah. Like my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafidhahullah used to say, that the door of Nubuwwat and Risalat is already shut. No one can become a prophet. No one can become a Rasul and messenger any longer. But the door of Walayat is never shut. You know, Walayat in Arabic, the word Waw and Lam and Ya, these are three root words. You know, it's the root word Al-Walyu in Arabic means Al-Qurb, closeness. All the rest of the 16 meanings that we have for Mawla, those meanings come later. The actual meaning of the root word of walayat is qurb and closeness. And all that level that you talk about, governance, hukumat, like we say walayat of faqih, government of faqih, vilayat of Ahlul Bayt means the love of Ahlul Bayt with the kasra, the zair under the waw, vilaya means the love of Ahlul Bayt, and walaya with the fatha and zabar on top of the waw, which means hukumat. All those meanings are derived from the qurb, from the concept of closeness to Allah, because they are close. So what my teacher was saying is that the door of Nubuwwat and Risalat is already shut. No one can become a prophet or a messenger any longer, but the door of Vilayat is never shut. That means anyone can become close to Allah, and thus anyone can become a beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Marhum Hashmatul Wa'izin, one of the great awliyaullah, when he was sick, he woke up, he was sleeping, he woke up, and this scholar who showed up for his iyadat, you know, it is narrated that he said to the scholar, that give me that pear that you have brought for me. And the scholar said, well, how come you know that I have brought a pear for you? Nashpati. He said, I saw Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam in my dream. And he said, he asked me to wake up and told me such and such person came for your iyadat, and he has this pier with you, and your shifa is in that pier. So our Imam cares about the awliyaullah. He never leaves the awliyaullah alone. No, that's what we always say when we are talking about our children, that what we are supposed to do is to make sure we make our children awliyaullah. beloved servants of Allah, and then leave the rest on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. Allah never wastes His beloved servants. So you do your side of the job. Your side of the job means you make sure when you are doing the Islamic upbringing that you make sure you make, you categorize your kids, you make sure your kids fall in the category of awliyaullah, beloved servants of God. Once you did your side of the duty and you made sure they become beloved servants of Allah, then leave the rest on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is never going to, in kana, if your children are awliya Allah, fa inna Allah la yudhi'u awliya'ahu. Allah never waits His awliya, His beloved servants. In kana, if your children, you know, a'da Allah, in kana, abna'uka, awladaka, in kana, awladuka, a'da Allah, if your children are the enemies of Allah, instead of being the beloved servants of Allah, فَمَا هَمُّكَ بِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ. Why are you giving importance to the enemies of Allah? So what we need to focus on is to convert our children among awliyaullah category. The beloved servants of Allah, and leave the rest on Allah. That's how it works. So we find that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam never leave their beloved servants alone. Prophet used to go for the iyadat in his own lifetime, not just for the mu'mins, but also for the kuffar. Isn't it right? You have that famous story that we all have heard already several times from the scholars, the Prophet visiting his Jewish neighbor, this man who used to throw garbage. And Prophet used to wear the white clothes always. We know that it's mustahab in Islam to wear the white. And except if you're wearing the black in the huzn and sorrow of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, which in that case it becomes mustahab to wear black. So Prophet used to wear white, and his jamal, his beauty was such that Prophet had the malahat. Isn't it right? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, was... He did have a good looking face, a very beautiful and handsome face, but Prophet had more malahat than Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And the occasion on the occasion of Mi'raj and Ascension, we find when Prophet was taken up there as a guest of Allah, all of a sudden the angels witnessed a huge noor spreading all over. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma hadha noor? What is this noor and divine light? We don't compare these noors with this noor of the world of matter. We call it noor-e-hissi, the tangible noor, the tangible light that you can sense with your five senses. We are talking about the noor which is ghair hissi, non-tangible. You don't see the noor with your physical eyes. You know, some people, when you talk about noor, you know, this person is so noorani. What they think is that, you know, his face is, he's a white-skinned person. If that was the definition of a noorani person, then all the Caucasian white people didn't need to go to the paradise. Isn't it right? If that's not the definition of a noorani person, but this is what some simple-minded people think. This is not called noor. We are talking about a noor which is non-hissi, which it requires the noor of the soul of the people. Noor of the soul of the people. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, who belongs to the, you know, he belongs to the eighth level of Iman, was a black person. But he had the noor in his soul. He's noorani. So we are talking about the noor of the soul. Which cannot be seen by the physical eyes. It has to be seen by the eyes of your soul. So, what I was saying is that this noor spread all over. An angel asked Allah, what is this noor? And Allah replied, that I have kept the jamal, the beauty of my beloved, my habib, my beloved prophet is the Habibullah. I have kept the jamal and beauty of my beloved in 70 curtains.
And today I have removed one of those 70 curtains.
So Prophet Yusuf Jamal was shown to its fullest to the humanity. And that fullest is also lesser than Rasulullah's Jamal.
But Prophet's Jamal was never shown to its fullest. Only one hijab and curtain was lifted among the 70 curtains. And you find they've witnessed the noor that they have never ever seen in their life. What if on the Day of Judgment, when all those 70 curtains of on the face of the Holy Prophet will be removed,
just imagine, it's unthinkable, unimaginable for us,
how much noor will be present
on that time when the 70 curtains will remove from the face of the Holy Prophet. Please say salawat.
So Prophet, the hadith tells us that the entire jamal and beauty that Allah created has 10 parts. All the jamal that Allah created has 10 parts. And among those 10 parts, all the jamal and beauty you find in the whole universe is because of one part among those 10. And the rest of the 9 parts have been given to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt only.
So we find that such a person with that kind of jamal, which is unthinkable, wearing white clothes, coming out and having the garbage dumped on his head on daily basis, every single day. And he never said a word. It takes a lot of morality to be on that high level, instead of people like us maybe thinking of filing lawsuits against our neighbors if they do that, isn't that right? So Prophet, when he found that one day he didn't show up, he himself goes and knocks, he goes to the door, and the wife comes out, and she was shocked seeing the Prophet of Islam at her door. You know, and Prophet said, I came to ask about your husband. In other words, she stopped the Prophet there and rushed to her husband and said to her, to him, do you know who came to visit you? The same Prophet of Muslims, in today's language, the same Prophet of Muslims, whom you were dumping the garbage on his head daily. And he said, okay, you know, first of all, give me a piece of cloth so I can cover my face with this piece of cloth, so I don't end up having an eye contact with him when he comes inside. She does the same. Prophet comes in. And when Prophet comes in, he says that, I swear by Prophet Ibnuh alayhi salam, I swear by Prophet Ibrahim, I swear by Prophet Musa, I swear by Prophet Isa, that I am not going to talk to you until you tell me first what I need to say to become a Muslim, so I can also embrace the religion that you are preaching. We find some Muslims are living in neighborhoods, and the non-Muslims in their neighborhoods get repelled from Islam. Instead of converting, Prophet was living in neighborhoods and people were converting to Islam. And some of the Muslims are living in neighborhoods and people get repelled from Islam. Isn't that, isn't that something which we need to rethink about how we are behaving towards our neighbors? I remember Imam Khomeini, radhiyallahu anhu, when he was in Paris, when the Christmas Eve arrived, he sent gift to his neighbor, Christian neighbor, on the occasion of Christmas. We don't believe in Christmas. They have their own traditions. We have our own Islamic traditions. But We respect our neighbors. Man kana yu'minu billahi, Prophet has said, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah and the final day, fal yukrim jarahu, he must respect his neighbor. So we do respect our neighbors. Our Jewish neighbors, Christian neighbors, anybody who is in our neighborhood, we have an obligation, we have a moral obligation to respect our neighbors. That's how Islam is spread. That's how the Islam of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt was spread, with their morals and akhlaq. Not by the power of the sword, which is a false accusation of the West. Please say salawat. So we find that when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says in his conversation to Allah, where can I find you? Hazrat Musa is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where can he find Allah? And Allah replies back, when did you go to pay a visit to a sick person who is lonely and poor and you did not find me? That means when you go and pay a visit to a mu'min person who is mariz, who is sick, he is gharib, that means he is lonely, having ghurbat, and somebody who is faqir and poor. If we pay a visit to these people, we will always find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if somebody fulfills these conditions. Allah is always with these people. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam used to hang around with this category of people. So, Mujalasatul Fuqara is a value of Islam, hanging around with either the scholars. We should hang around with the scholars, or we should hang around with the poor people, masakeen, fuqara. So we find in the history of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they were paying visits to the sick people in their life and supporting them. And in the life history of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam, it is narrated that our Imam also pays a visit to the sick people. And it has been narrated by Ayatullah Sheikh Hassan Nukhuduki Isfahani, one of our very great Urufa in the history, you know, one of our very great personalities. We have so many stories about his ibadat and his spirituality. When he was sick, and bunch of students were there paying a visit to him, all of a sudden, the teacher, he wakes up and he puts the imamah over his head and he goes and sits next to the door very much respectfully, just like we sit in the prayers in tashahud. And he starts talking with somebody. And after a while, he comes back from the door and he talks to his students, why didn't you people stand up and respected the imam, alayhi salam? Because Imam came to pay a visit, and he has brought these two dates. One date belongs to me, and the other one belongs to Marhum Bafiqi Rahmatullah Alayh, who used to be called Salman Farsi Zaman. So, this is how our Imam alayhi salam is, paying a visit to those who deserve. And we find that, some people, when Imam alayhi salam meets with them, they recognize that this is the Imam. They talk with the Imam. They don't forget what they have in their minds. Whereas some people, when they meet with the Imam, they do not recognize that he is the Imam. Isn't it right? They forget what they had in their mind to ask the Imam. Or they end up talking about something else. Allama Hilli rahmatullah alayh, one of our great scholars, when he was riding his animal in the desert, and all of a sudden he finds this one Sayyid Jalilul Qadr, very, very much majestic in his personality, shows up in the middle of the desert and starts walking next to him. They say salam to each other, and Lama Hilli discovered in the conversation that he's a very knowledgeable person. Obviously, a man is hidden behind, Imam Ali has said, al mar'u makhbu'un tahta lisani, man is hidden beneath his tongue. When you talk to somebody, you discover which level of iman he belongs, which level of ma'rifat he belongs, which level of taqwa he belongs, which level of knowledge he belongs. You can discover everything from a person if you are sharp and knowledgeable yourself. So Allama Hilli discovered he's a very knowledgeable person. And he was shocked in the deserts of the Arab lands. We still have people, Sayyids like this, who are so knowledgeable that they are answering to questions that Allama Hilli is unable to answer. And he's the marji of that time. So then, after a while, when he posed so many questions, then he asked Imam alayhi salam, that is it possible for a person to meet with the Imam of the time? And when he says that, the stick that he had in hand falls down, drops from his hands. Imam alayhi salam picks up the stick and hands it over into the hand of Allama Hilli rahmatullah alayh, and he says that, how come it's not possible to meet the Imam and the Imam of your time is handing over this to your hand? And Allama Hilli drops himself down on the feet of the Imam, but he disappeared. So we have our scholars who are so great in their level that they have this great opportunity to meet with the Imam of their time, and Imam alayhi salam also pays a visit to them. So, but obviously it requires from us that we are deserving for that status. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam also paid a visit to the sick. That's the tradition of all the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Abdullah ibn Shaddad is one of the shuhada of Karbala. Unfortunately, in our Islamic, in our culture, we don't talk about all the shuhada of Karbala, all those 72, according to some counts, and according to some other counts, it's 92 shuhada. According to another third available count is 132 shuhada in Karbala. So, but 72 is the most famous count. So, we don't even talk about all the 72 in our majalis. Isn't that right? So, this is unfortunate that so many of the greatest personalities of the Islamic history, we don't even know about their names and their sacrifices. Abdullah ibn Shaddad, Salamullahi alayhi, is one of the companions among 72 great companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam has himself said, Wallahi inni la ara ashaban awfa min ashabi. I don't see companions as, you know, more faithful than my companions. Wala ahla baytin, nor do I see the family members more abarwa awfa, more good doing and more faithful than my Ahlul Bayt. So the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam are the most faithful companions any person ever got in the history. That's confirmed. They are the greatest of all. So Abdullah ibn Shaddad salamullahi alayhi is one of the 72 companions of the Imam, and he was sick. He was sick. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam pays a visit to his companion. He has severe fever. And as soon as Imam Hussein alayhi salam shows up, Imam Hussein is very beloved in the eyes of Allah. Actually, he's not very, he's the most beloved. Didn't the Prophet say, whoever wants, we learn in the light of the hadith, whoever wants to look at the most beloved person among the dwellers of the heaven and the most beloved person among the dwellers of the earth should look at Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is precisely the most beloved person among the Ahlul Sama and Ahlul Arz, without any doubt. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam is so much beloved that the hadith says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to pick up this haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the Day of Judgment, it will be picked up and placed in the middle of paradise. So everyone can look at the haram from every corner of the paradise. Whenever the angels of Allah come down to the earth, the hadith says, angels in the heaven, ask them to bring some turbat of Imam Hussein for us.
How can we imagine the greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
So Imam Hussein pays a visit to Abdullah ibn Shaddad, who is going through severe fever. And as soon as Imam Hussein shows up, his fever is gone. He's got cured. And he said, well, I was suffering from this fever, and as soon as you showed up, it's gone. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied that you know,
وَاللَّهِ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَمَرَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ لَنَا.
I swear to Allah, Allah did not create anything except that He commanded that thing to be obedient towards us.
So everything is obedient towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam.
So we find,
please say salawat. So we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has this special status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the dua is mustajab under his dome, and the shifa, and whatever dua you have, you just go under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and seek your dua. It's accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shifa has been given to his turbat. If you happen to go to Najaf, it's haram for you to eat the turbat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If you happen to go to Mashhad, it's haram for you to eat the turbat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. If you happen to go to Kadhiman, may Allah bless all of us to have that tawfiq to visit all of our imams. It's haram to eat the turbat of Kadhiman. Isn't it right? And likewise Samarra, likewise Medina.
The only turbat which is allowed to eat is the turbat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn.
Please say salawat.
That's the only turbat which is allowed.
And it's
our Urafa, when they used to go and visit the...
We have stories from some of the Urafa when they were going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
They used to take off their shoes in the city of Karbala by saying, because we don't know which part of this city the blood, the holy blood of Imam Hussein has fallen down. We don't know which areas of the city the blood has fallen down. We don't want to put our shoes over the blood of Imam Hussein. So we better take off the shoes in this entire city. This is their perspective. This is their love towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is their ma'rifat of Imam and the religion.
You are rewarded according to your level of ma'rifat. Isn't it right?
Some people don't care. You know, some people don't care. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
You know, when you go for the ziyarat of other imams, we do the ghusl. But when we go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam,
the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, it is not mustahab for you to do the ghusl. Allah wants you to go with the same dirt over your head. Go and visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is also a value that you have all that over your head and your body. All the ghubar and dust that has settled during your travel. Go with the same ghubar and dust over your body for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. Because ghusl is not mustahab for that ziyarat.
Look at the greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam has sacrificed everything that he had. Everything that he had for the sake of Allah.
And Imam Hussein's caravan also has the mariz.
We have Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, who is the mariz in this caravan.
Look at how the ummah is behaving towards this mariz person.
How much emphasis we have for the iyadatul mariz, paying a visit for the sick.
And now as soon as Imam Hussein becomes shaheed, we find they come forward, the ashqiya come forward, and they are now slapping on the face of Hazrat Sakina. And they are pulling the bed underneath Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, instead of paying a visit to Imam Sajjad. And they are basically running after the ladies of Ahlul Haram, poking their spear into the bodies of the ladies and taking their hijab off.
Hazrat Fatima bint al-Husayn, she says that one shaqi person was running behind me. I was running to protect my hijab. And he poked the spear on her. And she fell down unconscious. When she woke up and she became conscious, she discovered her head was in the lap of her aunt Hazrat Zainab. And the first thing she asked her aunt Hazrat Zainab was about her hijab. Where was her hijab? And she replies back, Ammatuki misluki. That means your aunt is similar to you. Hazrat Zainab also didn't have the hijab. That was also taken away. This is how the ummah is treating the haram of Rasulullah. We find the ladies have been running from one khaymah to the other. And finally, the time arrives when Hazrat Zainab is gathering all the children and the ladies of Ahlul Haram. 84, the narration says, 84 women and children came out after the Qiyam were burnt. 84 ladies and kids came out. Hazrat Zainab is now acting like Imam Hussain alayhi salam. She is taking the charge and she's gathering all the Ahlul Haram and taking care of everybody. But she could not find him, Hazrat Sakina. She could not find this daughter of Imam Hussein who used to sleep over the chest of her father. She could not find Hazrat Sakina. Now Hazrat Zainab moves out towards the Maqtal to find out about Hazrat Sakina. And she finds that this Hazrat Sakina is lying over a beheaded corpse. A beheaded janaza, which is lying in the maqtal without the head. She's sleeping. She's lying over the chest of this janaza. Hazrat Zainab takes her in her lap and she asks Sakina, how did you recognize this is the body of your father? And she said, I was saying Baba. I was moving towards the maqtal, in other words. And this janaza said, Ilayya, Ilayya, Ya Bunayya. Come towards me, my daughter. This is about the Asr of Ashura, after the Asr of Ashura. But we find when the caravan moves forward and they enters into the city of Kufa, and the women of Kufa are standing there and they started to cry over this caravan. And Hazrat Umm Kulsum says that taqtuluna rijalukum wa tabki alayna nisa'ukum. That means, what kind of hypocrisy is that? Your men come and kill us and then your women come and cry over us? That means, who killed us other than your men? So now, some of the women started to distribute the dates of sadaqah among the Ahlul Bayt. She takes away the dates from the hand. She says, "Inna sadaqata alayna muharramatun." Sadaqah is haram on us. And the date was taken away for some of those kids. And we find that Umm Habiba comes forward and she says that my dates, that means those of the dates that I gave, these are not the dates of sadaqah. My dates are the dates of nazar. And what was your nazar, Hazrat Zainab asked. She says, my nazar, you know, Umm Habiba was a kaniz. She was a maid in the house of Imam Hussein and Hazrat Zainab a while ago in Medina. And after marriage, she came to Kufa. So now she says to Hazrat Zainab, she did not recognize Hazrat Zainab. She says to Hazrat Zainab, my dates are not of sadaqah. My dates are of nazar. My nazar was, may Allah give me the tawfiq to go for the ziyarat of Mawla Imam Hussein and Hazrat Zainab. As soon as Hazrat Zainab hears that, she says, Allah has fulfilled your nazar. Zainab has arrived in your city. Zainab has arrived in your city, she said once. Umm Habiba said, where is my Zainab? How come I don't know? I didn't know. Hazrat Zainab said, if you see Zainab, will you recognize her? She said, why not? She's my lady. I will recognize her. See, that's where Hazrat Zainab replied back that I am Zainab. But Umm Habiba still did not recognize. We give her that right not to recognize. Obviously, because she has never seen Hazrat Zainab without the hijab. Obviously, she has never seen Hazrat Zainab as a captive with her hands tied up. She never saw Hazrat Zainab like that. She has a right not to recognize. But then she says to Hazrat Zainab, my Zainab had an alamat and sign. And that was, she never used to get separated from her brother, Imam Hussein. And as soon as Hazrat Zainab hears that, she draws the attention towards the head of Imam Hussein, over the spearhead. And she says, that's the head of Hussein. Zainab still did not get separated from her brother.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها با الہ پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما مائلہ بانیان مدس کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما ان کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما با الہ ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين